Our passage for today is taken from John chapter 3. We're not going to be doing verses 1 through 15, but we'll focus only in verses 1 through 8, and we'll leave for next week 9 through 15. So John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 that you can find in your bulletins. This is the Word of God. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that without you, we could not read this word and understand what is in it. We could not read this word and have faith that it is you who have revealed it to us. We could not read this word and trust that our Lord Jesus is the Lord and what he's saying here is the truth. We acknowledge, Lord, that it is just by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can be here today and trust in you for salvation. We thank you for that. We praise your name for that. We are so thankful that we can be counted as your people because of what you have done. None of these things we have done is just you. So we pray, Lord, with this acknowledgement that you will help us, Lord, to read these verses and understand from them what you want us to understand, that you will help us to be moved in our hearts through what we are seeing here in front of us, which is your work in our lives. How you bring people who are or who were dead to life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to see this in these verses. And we pray for those who are hearing this for the first time and for those who have not yet trusted in you for salvation, that you will give them new life in Christ as well, so that they could believe and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is one of those passages in the Bible that is a well-known passage. And I think that the reason is not so much because it is more important than other parts of the Word of God. All the Scripture is inspired by God. Therefore, we know that every single part of it is really important, but I think what makes it important or what makes it known is because of this interaction that we have between this man, Nicodemus, a known religious leader in Jerusalem, and Jesus. It is because who Nicodemus was and who Jesus was. And I think that some of you, if you grew up going to church, you may have heard this in Sunday school. I remember that I heard this growing up in Sunday school so many times. I don't know if it's that my Sunday school teacher didn't know other parts of the Bible, but I know that I heard this story so many times. It was repeated to me so many times because what Jesus is saying here is very important. It's essential for any person to know what is to be a Christian. And sometimes we give so much importance to the person that comes and visits Jesus because, again, he was a religious leader and you would not have expected him to go and see Jesus. But in the story, what is amazing is that Jesus meets Nicodemus. Think about this. Who was Nicodemus? He was just a religious leader. But Nicodemus had the privilege of meeting with God. He had the privilege of sitting in an evening and have a close conversation with the Son of God, God Himself, divine, and hear words directly to him from God. Therefore, the character that we need to highlight in the story is not so much Nicodemus, but Jesus Himself. Jesus Himself. Now, who was Nicodemus? John tells us that Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he was a ruler of the Jews. Therefore, he was not just a regular Pharisee, but most likely he was part of the Sanhedrin, that court that ruled Israel. He was one of those who have great importance within the people of Israel, a teacher of the law. He knew the law very well. He was well known among the people of Israel. And this man, John tells us that he's coming to Jesus by night. And there has been always a speculation. Why did he come by night? Maybe it's because he was afraid of the other religious leaders, that they will discover that he's going to see Jesus. We don't really know. Some people say that maybe because he was busy or because he knew that Jesus was busy and he was coming by night. But Nicodemus is coming by night to meet Jesus. And what Nicodemus said to Jesus is completely right, in a sense. He said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I say completely, but it's not the right word, it's not completely. He's almost right in saying that no one could do what Jesus have done. So far, all we've seen is that Jesus have changed water into wine, that he went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. But most likely there were other miracles that Jesus did, and Nicodemus was aware of them, and therefore he's acknowledging that no one has done the things that Jesus has done. None of the religious leaders. He would look around the Sanhedrin, all these elders, and he would say, there is no one who has done the things that Jesus has done. The only thing that Nicodemus missed is that he was sitting talking with God. It was not just that Jesus was sent from God. It's true, God the Father sent the Son, but Jesus himself was God talking with Nicodemus. We don't know the motivation that Nicodemus had by coming to Jesus. We might say that he was curious about the power that Jesus bear, and I don't think that I'll be in the position of judging what were Nicodemus' motives, but we know that Nicodemus is acknowledging that Jesus has a unique power. Now, how does Jesus respond to Nicodemus? I don't know if you have ever experienced this, but I have experienced this being in one side or the other. What I mean by this is I have met with a person knowing why this person is coming to meet with me. I know that the person has something in his mind or her mind that wants to share with me, and maybe is looking to ask me for something. And I know from the beginning, even from the very moment that I get the text message, what is this about? But when we meet, the person goes around saying one thing and another and is not getting to the point, because maybe the issue that the person is trying to share is a very difficult issue. And I said, I've been in one side or the other, because I have also been that person going to meet with another person, not addressing the point right away because maybe I'm afraid, I'm concerned, or I don't know how to get there. But sometimes when we've been in those situations, we are waiting patiently, hearing the person, knowing where the person is going, but we keep hearing, and we just listen to the person until the person gets to the point, and the person just shares with us. So this is why I'm here. I have a very good friend who once told me, Enrique, I don't have time today for a small talk. Tell me what you need. And I was okay with that because he is a very good friend of mine. But what we see here is something similar. I think that talking with Jesus most times has been very difficult. Think about this. You are in front of somebody who knows everything, who knows what is in your heart. In the previous verses, by the end of chapter 2, John tells us that Jesus knew what was in man's heart. Therefore, he knew what was going on in Nicodemus' mind when Nicodemus went to visit him. Therefore, Jesus went straight to the heart of the matter. He went straight to talk to Nicodemus, probably not necessarily about Nicodemus' questions, but about the issue that was behind Nicodemus' visit. As a Jew and as a rabbi, as a Pharisee, Nicodemus saw himself as one who was a member of the kingdom of God. And his role was to tell people, this is how you become a member of the kingdom of God. And to remind people, you are not walking as a member of the kingdom of God. This is what you have to do to be a member of the kingdom of God. But then here, Jesus is going straight again to the heart of Nicodemus to tell him, actually, you don't know what it takes to be a member of the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you what it takes to be a member of the kingdom of God. One thing that Jesus does through these verses is that he answered many questions. He answered, if you read several commentaries, they will come up with all these questions that Jesus is answering through these verses. He's not asking the questions. Nicodemus is not asking the questions, but Jesus is answering the questions. So I think that I can find the questions, and those questions is what I want us to look at in these verses. There are three questions at least that we could get answer from these verses. One is, what does it need? No, sorry, who does it need it? Referring to be born again. Who does it need to be born again? Second is, how does it happen? How does it happen to be born again? And third is, what does it happen? What does it happen? Because what Jesus is talking about in this verse is about being born again. So going back to the question is, who does it need it? How does it happen? And what does it happen when somebody is born again? So first of all, who does it need it? Jesus says to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you. Truly, truly, I say to you is, what I'm going to tell you is the truth. And sign this up. Like, there is nothing else that you should think. This is the truth. That unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word unless means everyone needs to be born again. Everyone. Because unless a person is born again, that person can never see the kingdom of God. Now, who is everyone? Everyone is, yes, everyone. Everyone in the world needs, first of all, to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Because in order to have eternal life, you need to be born again. And the testament of that truth is that Nicodemus was the perfect person or the perfect example of a person who you could think that was already inside the kingdom of God. Again, he is a religious leader. He knew the law very well. He will practice everything that was written in the law. He will teach others the law. His profession was to serve God and to teach others how they could be members of the kingdom of God. And now Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you, Nicodemus, also need to be born again. Even you need to be born again, because unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How do we know that? We know that because Nicodemus didn't even know what did it mean to be born again. You see that Nicodemus asked this question: how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus was thinking again on something physical. You can connect this with what we saw last week when Jesus told the Jews, or the Jews told Jesus, when he said, destroy this temple, I will rebuild it. They said, it has been 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. They were thinking again only in the physical thing, the temple. Nicodemus was thinking in being born physically. So who does it need it? Everyone needs to be born again. Even those who don't think that they need it, they also need to be born again if they want to have eternal life. If they don't want to end in eternal condemnation. Now, how does this happen? How does it happen? And that's what could make Nicodemus and many people uncomfortable. Because it doesn't happen by your own power. Look what Jesus says in verse 7 and 8. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus is using the metaphor here of the wind, that you can feel it. You can go out and you can feel it, but you don't know where it's coming. You might say it's coming from there, but it might be coming like this. Or we don't know where the wind is coming from, but you feel it. It is the same with those who are born of the Spirit. It is the will of the Spirit. It's the will of God who bring people to himself. Therefore, there is no way that we can control this. For example, you read John chapter 1 verse 13 says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It doesn't depend on your own will. And this is what I'm saying. It makes people uncomfortable because we want to be in control. I want to make the decision I want to be in charge of deciding if I'm going to be born again or not. And what Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you cannot. Because it is the will of the Spirit. You see, also Romans 9:16. So then, it depends not on human will of exertion, but on God who has mercy. It depends on the mercy of God. So how does it happen? It happens through the power of the Holy Spirit coming to a person's heart, transforming that heart, replacing that heart of rock for a heart of flesh, giving that person new life in Christ, giving that person faith to believe and to trust in God. It doesn't depend on the person himself or in how good we are at communicating the message. It depends on the power of the Holy Spirit. Who does it, and to whom does it happen? It happens to whoever God has mercy. Now the third question is what does it happen when somebody is born again? There are four things at least that we can see from these verses. The first one is that you can see the kingdom of God. Verse 3 says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The first thing is that you can see the kingdom of God. Because where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is right here, right now. It's all around us. But the thing is that people cannot see the kingdom of God because they are not born again. Somebody might come to this room and sit with us and wonder why we are even here at 1 o'clock hearing somebody for an hour. Or not somebody, but many for an hour and a half. And the reason is because all of us who have the Spirit of God in us and we have been born again, we are able to see the riches, blessings that we have in God's Word. We are able to see Jesus. We don't see Jesus, but we can trust in Jesus by faith because God has opened the eyes of our hearts when we were born again. 1 Corinthians 2:14, 16 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. They cannot understand them because they cannot see them. Because the only way they can see them is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ because we have been born again. Those who have trusted in Jesus. So first of all, what does it happen when you are born again? You can see the kingdom of God. You can see the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. You know, we are seated at the right hand with Jesus in the heavenly places. And we can know that and we can trust that this is true. Even though things around us might not look like this is what is happening, we can see that because we have been born again. We have received the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is that you are born of the water and the Spirit. Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit. Jesus answered, truly, truly, in verse 5, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I really had a challenge understanding what Jesus meant by these words, and through the week I was trying to be ready for today so we could try to get it together, until I find these quotes from Arsis Pro that says like this: I have struggled with this test for more than 40 years. They say, okay, at least it's 1 week he's been struggling for 40 years, or he struggled for 40 years. And he said, but I am still not completely sure what it means. I know what Jesus meant by the reference to the Spirit. He was talking about being born from above. It's the power of the Holy Spirit giving new life to the person, being born by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I am not sure what he meant with his reference to water. And then he goes to give his at least his attempt to understand what he meant by that. And there are at least four positions. I'm just going to mention briefly to you them so you can see them. Some people have understood this as water referring to physical birth. Water referring to physical birth. That unless a person is born, like when a woman delivers a baby, there is the fluid. That's born by water, and the Spirit is meaning the regeneration. Some people have said that, but first of all, there is no other reference in the Bible to say that this will be a good position to say. And the other idea that some people have asked is that water referring to water, to baptism, unless somebody is baptized. But first of all, the passage is not talking about that. Baptism is a sign of something that happens internally. Regeneration has already happened, and the baptism is the external sign. The other position is that water and spirit are symbols of cleansing and power. Jesus is just using two symbols to refer to the cleansing that we'll need and the power. And this is what Sproul will say, that he feel comfortable yet not sure. But I prefer what one of our former pastors said about this, which is that water is the word of God. And that was Dr. Boyce. And you can see that, for example, from passages like this, Ephesians 5:26, that says that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Also John 15:3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. In other words, Boyce will argue that what this means is the work of the Word of God plus the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. And I think that that makes a lot of sense, because a person comes to faith and is received new birth when a person hears the gospel and the Holy Spirit works in his heart to make a new creature in Christ. Yet, I will say, like Sproul will say, I'm not sure. But I think that that makes sense. But Jesus is telling us that when you are born again, you are born of the water and the Spirit. Third is that you enter the kingdom of God. Read with me this verse again. Jesus answered, verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We saw the first verse is that you cannot see the kingdom of God, right? Then here you see that you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is not that we become aware that the kingdom of God is right here, right now, but that we become part of the kingdom of God. That we, as new creatures in Christ, are members of the kingdom of God. And fourth is that your spirit becomes alive. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Every single human being, when is born with a physical body and a soul or a spirit. It's the same. The soul or the spirit are the same. But that doesn't mean that you don't, the passage doesn't mean that when you are born of the flesh, that you are born of your mother, you only have a body and no a soul. But it means that you also have a soul, but your soul is spiritually dead. And we learned that from Ephesians chapter 2. We were all dead in our sins and trespasses. We are spiritually dead in the sense that we cannot sense God. We cannot understand spiritual things. We are not sensitive to the word of God, and therefore we are born of the flesh. We are just flesh. We have a spirit, but our spirit is dead. But when we are born again, we have a spiritual life. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he enables us to again to understand spiritual things. So, brothers and sisters, this is the miracle of regeneration. If you are here today and you have trusted in Jesus, it is because God has already done the greatest miracle that anybody could do for you, is that he has given you new life in Christ. You are able to see the kingdom of God. You are in the kingdom of God. And all this, not because you want it, but because God in his mercy had mercy on you and gave you new life in Christ and eyes to see the truth of the gospel. Now we have many people around us that don't know Jesus. What do we do about them? Well, the most important thing that we have to do is pray. Because it is not us who will change their hearts. We are messengers of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ to those around us. But the only one who can change their hearts and give them new life in Christ is the Holy Spirit. We have to trust that God is merciful, and we continue to pray as we pray, and we should pray today, that as Nicodemus was there and heard Jesus saying those words that he will come to faith, we should pray that those who are hearing the gospel right now, they will come to faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. We should continue to pray throughout the week for them because that's what they need the most. They need the power of the Holy Spirit to transform them and give them new life in Christ. Praise the Lord if you are a child of God, because it was all God's work in your life, and all the glory is to Him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a gracious and merciful God who loves us even before the foundation of the world, and You send Your Holy Spirit to us to give us new life in Christ. We thank You that today we can read these words, read the gospel, and trust in You, because You have opened the eyes of our hearts and You have brought us into Your kingdom. Lord, we pray also for those that we know and those that are around us who still don't know You, that You will also work in their hearts, giving them new life in Christ. We pray that they will have their eyes of their hearts open so they could see the truth of the gospel as well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.